Hello, welcome to Spotlight, a drying calm of artistic joy in the puddle of Manx life.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we catch up at last with the new Manx youth bard to hear his thoughts on his bardic role. Cast forward to one of the most iconic performance events on the Manx calendar, the 132nd Manx Music Speech and Dance Festival, or the Guild, of course. And fingers in your ears if you're easily offended, we drop into rehearsals ahead of the opening night of the Loony Pants adult panto Jack and His Long Thick Stalk. Don't say I didn't warn you. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, music, literary, ceramic, sculpted, drag, etc., etc. Spotlight at manxradio.com, Howard Kane at manxradio.com. I would love to hear from you at any stage. Get in touch and let's do something. Now, I mentioned the other week that we have a new Manx youth bard. We heard his winning performance. Niall Collari succeeds Hadassah Smith in the prestigious role, having beaten off stiff competition from several other contenders for the role. Now, we've been trying to get together with him for a few weeks for a chat, but due to commitments at either end, we've not succeeded. But now I'm glad to say we have. And earlier this week, 13-year-old Niall and his dad were at last able to get together for a chat with me about his poetry, inspiration and meeting a VVIP within days of taking on the role. But I began by asking Niall if his new role as bard had sunk in yet.
I'm still letting it sink in, but I feel I've gotten a feel for how it's going to be for the next year.
What inspired you to take part in the first place?
To be honest, it's not as glamorous as one would make it sound in a story. My friend's dad was actually the bard, not this year, but the previous year. And he had always been giving me a heads up about the poetry because he knew I loved English literature.
Is that Michael Manning? Was that
Michael Manning, yes.
Yep.
His son is one of my friends. And he showed me the poster for the Manx Youth Bard in school, and that was literally the first time I'd been in contact with poetry.
Oh, gosh. So you started from scratch then?
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
So it was a pretty good motivator.
It was a very good motivator. So do you like English and languages and playing with words and such like, or was this something totally new to you?
I have always had a love for English literature, and my vocabulary is always something I would love to grow and always is growing when I'm trying to write poetry.
And then tell us a little bit about the actual competition itself, because once you've crossed the Rubicon, as it were, and decided, right, I'm going in for it, what actually happens then? You have to submit some poems, and then there's a performance aspect as well.
So how it worked is I emailed my poems completely anonymously to the judges, and they pretty much decided the top three audition. If you make it to that top three audition, then you should be reading out and performing it to the judges, which after that top three audition, they'll see if you are Manx Youth Bard material.
Okay, and then, so there is that performance, and you're not fazed by that, because I know we were chatting as we were coming up, some people you speak to poets and they write reams of poetry, but they are never that comfortable actually performing their own work. Is this something you're happy with, the performance aspect?
That's partly due to my exposure with public speaking. I've never had stage fright. Obviously, I've been nervous at times.
Everyone's nervous.
But I've never had stage fright. Maybe that's due to my performance in the primary school plays, or probably because I'm in the debate club for school.
I think that's very good training, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's anything where you actually get up, because so few people are used to doing that, getting up and standing in front of a room of people and speaking it. Takes quite a bit to do it, and like you say, the more you do it, the better you get at it. So I think that's excellent training. What about inspiration then? Because you're saying you come to it new. Did you find it difficult to find themes to write about?
I took a week after I'd decided I was going to audition for it, because you have a month to write three poems, or up to three poems. So I took a week to decide what I was going to do for my first poem, and kind of came to me when I was talking. I wanted to do poems on topics that I was personally happy about, and personally I was wanting to write about, so that my opinions and thoughts could get out there. I wrote 2 poems in total for my audition.
Mm-hmm. And the winning piece, certainly the piece I saw on the side or whatever, was Rainbow in Black. What was that themed on?
That was, if you look at it from the outside, it was just about iridescence and how it's a mankind and nature's combining into something beautiful, which is a really nice topic, I thought. But as I was writing it, I thought all poetry should have a deeper meaning, mm-hmm. as well as a outer meaning, like an outer shell. So you, when you look into poetry, it shouldn't be, oh, that's nice, then move on with your life. You should think about it.
Exactly, yeah.
So my deeper meaning was, two things that are contrasting shouldn't really stay apart. They can always be complementary, like how nature and humankind are in iridescence.
So yes, always having, like I said, more than skin deep. It's that sort of lovely to read through, nice on the ear, but then it has that other meaning, that other layer behind it. Within a week, I think you were saying, of having taken on the bardic role, you got to meet, just the Queen.
Yeah.
That must have been quite, I don't know whether it was nerve-wracking or exciting or both.
I didn't actually know until 2 days before, no, a week before meeting her. My parents actually knew for the 2 days after I got my bardic role. But they didn't want to tell me because it wasn't all set in stone yet. So they said, we're meeting a VVIP.
Yeah, I think you have a definite V there as well. Yeah, VVIP. Very good indeed. Oh, that was amazing. And did you ever have a chance to have a little brief chat with her?
Yes. We did have a chat about poetry and how its effect on the world is like important, mm. and how it's been a important part of history as well. It's a thing of the people, poetry.
So now you are here. We are in role. Then, like you say, you've sort of got used to it now. Is there anything you're wanting to do in the role? Because you have a year to obviously do your poetry, write more poetry. Plenty of places where you can perform poetry, or will be asked to come and perform. Anything you feel that you'd like to sort of achieve in your bardic year?
My main goal to achieve is to write at least 12 poems in my bardic year, and be able to perform them all. If not, maybe 10. Because if I'm being the bard, I want to make the most out of it. And I can't wait for events and say, okay, I'm going to write a poem for that event. I want to write poetry for myself. Mm. And then if there's events, I can recite it for others.
Did you get any tips from Hadassah, the previous youth bard? I don't know whether you know her already or not, or whether you just met her at some of the bardic functions, but did she have any words of wisdom for you?
So I did meet her when I got my role as Manx Bard, as well as a few other actual Manx Bards. All of them pretty much said, make the most of it. Don't be nervous, make the most of it, which I kind of took to heart. I'm trying not to be nervous, trying to go for everything.
Absolutely. And I think that is probably the best thing to do, isn't it? Just go for it, embrace it, and yes, make the most out of it. Could you see yourself going any further? I mean, obviously, you've got a year now where you will be concentrating quite a bit on poetry, coming out with the pieces, as you mentioned there. Do you see yourself sort of, you know, continuing your interest in poetry beyond the bardic year?
Personally, I don't feel like I'll make a profession out of poetry, mm-hmm. or English literature, but I would love to use it as a hobby or as a personal tool in day-to-day life, or maybe in a profession where that could be useful.
Well, very best of luck. Lovely to hear a little bit more about you. And yes, a wonderful start, and amazing that you've, you know, pretty much came to it just on that, oh, I might have a go at that, and in you go. Amazing stuff, because quite a few of your predecessors, I think, have already started writing a little bit of poetry. Just out of interest, do any of your other friends, you know, you said you like literature and such like, do you have other friends who like to dabble in poetry at all?
No.
No.
I'm the only one out of all of my friends who have ever been in contact with poetry, other than Michael Manning's son.
Hmm. Well, you've been kind enough to agree, like Hadassah, to do some poetry for us through the year that we can broadcast here on Mike's Radio and in the Spotlight programme. So do you have one we could finish off with today?
Yeah, The Rainbow in Black. In oil's void, darkness spreads eternally. In a rainbow's lambency, a promise descends softly. Yet iridescence unites these contradictions in beautiful harmony, like the hope in fear and the beauty in failure, as yin and yang intertwine in the spills of humankind.
Wonderful stuff, and amazing to think Neil's just 13. We look forward to hearing more from him through his bardic year, and he's promised to come back for a catch-up in a few months' time.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
I dare say most of you don't need me to tell you, it's almost guild time. The 132nd Manx Music Speech and Dance Festival gets underway in just over 2 weeks, with musicians, dancers, choirs, actors, et al. Putting the finishing touches to their entries. I spoke to Mrs. Guild herself, chair of the event, Anne Clark, who gave me the lowdown on this year's event with news on everything from the classes themselves to the all-colour programme and refreshments for the artists and audience alike. We'll hear more about some of the hundreds of classes next week, but for this evening, I concentrated on the blue-ribboned event to start, the Cleveland Medal.
Well, as you know, it's going on as usual, and there's still the six voices competing. But instead of having a representative from each voice singing in the Cleveland, three men and three women, we decided that was a bit unfair, because sometimes you'll only get one contralto in the class and that person will go into the Cleveland. So this year, it's the highest marks of all the classes who go in. So you could, in theory, have six ladies singing for the Cleveland. Mm-hmm. It's to find the best voice. It's slightly controversial and slightly difficult to administer, but it seems to be the fairest way. And then the best voice in the festival will win.
And then, as you say, presumably that will be... We'll see how it goes this year, and that will be judged afterwards, and
yes,
we go from there.
Yes. We're always open to change. Nothing is set in stone, and that's the way we work.
And I think that's, as we were saying just before we started this interview, that's in many ways the hardest thing for something which has been 132 years going. And like I said, I remember it. People, grandparents were taking part in it. It's very much part of Manx heritage for so many people and so many families. And yet, like everything, you can't stand still, can you? You've got to be able to move with the times to reflect changing tastes and changing populations and such like. So it's a very difficult thing to do that without actually, but still keeping the essence of the competition the same.
Yes, it is. It's a juggling act, really. But we've got a very, very good committee. And we work very well together, and we do try and keep up with the times and keep going and keep the tradition going as well.
Now then, of course, what everyone's competing for is to win, ideally. I mean, taking part, hopefully they'll enjoy, but everyone's hoping, I dare say, when they enter the classes, large or small, to win, which brings us to the issue of trophies.
Oh.
An awful lot of them, and of course they all go out and they all need to come back in again.
They all go out indeed, and they go to all parts of the island, and sometimes they go across as well, and they come back. But they don't always come back in the condition that we would like to receive them. Some of them come back in the need of a good clean, and some of them come back damaged. And I must say that I feel very strongly about this, because they are trophies which have been given in memory of people who held the guild in great affection, and they deserve to be treated with love and respect. I would ask people, if they haven't yet returned their trophies, to return them as soon as possible. And if you don't know how to clean them, then ask. People are always willing to help.
And where do they go back to? Do people know where? Do some people say, yes. Oh, I didn't know where to send them back.
Yes, it's all in the syllabus and in the programme. They go back to Morrison's Photography in Bucks Road. John Morrison and his staff are very good. They receive the trophies for us, and then we collect them from there and take them and sort them out.
So there we are. Fair warning. The guild is almost upon us. And they need to have the trophies back, because, you know, you might win it again this year, but you certainly won't if you don't bring it back again. And someone else might win it as well, of course. So very important. And make sure that they are cleaned, and people do their own. So they have them engraved as well before
yes,
they go back, of course.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So you can just about do it if you were if you get your skates on now.
Oh, they are engraved at the Guild's expense, by the way.
So you don't even have to pay?
You don't have to pay.
Oh,
no.
Gosh. Well, there's no excuse then, is there? Now, the other thing we're also mentioning, of course, it is a lot of people will make, it's a day out, is it, where they'll go to the Guild and they'll spend quite a few hours there. And you were saying there is a slight change. There is sort of catering and, I believe, on some evenings, the bars will be open if someone wants an alcoholic beverage.
Now, for some of us, this is the most exciting development of all.
I can see it being popular.
Yes. On certain evenings, the bar in the Villa Marina will be open. And all day, we have outside Philby's little shack.
Oh, that'd be very popular.
Yes, very popular for lunches, delicious lunches. And the barista coffee shop, which is also marvellous. And they are just outside the main door of the villa. And even if you're not going to the Guild, you can pass through and get a lovely wrap or a cup of coffee on your way to Marks and Spencer's.
What's not to like? So, yes, the good coffee there. There's good food there with Philby's. There's drinks to be had at the bar in the evenings on some nights as well. Sounds like pretty much everything is in place. Yes, it's just counting down now then to the beginning. And it all starts on the 27th.
Yes,
of April, and that's at the Villa.
At the Villa, and admission prices, you can get a whole day ticket, which is valid all day and in the evening, for just £5.
That's nothing.
You can have a whole festival ticket, a whole week, for £35. And if you buy a festival ticket for £35, you can get the second one for £25. So it's a real bargain all round. Under 18s, admitted free at all times.
So, a polite reminder, if you haven't returned your trophy in timely fashion and in good order, please do so, sort it out. ASAP, time is running out, and it's not fair on the organisers or this year's competitors not to return your trophies in time for this year's festival. Some of them have a real history behind them. More on the Guild next week. Finally, those of a delicate disposition may wish to close their ears for the last few minutes of the programme. But if you like your humour on the saucier side and aren't averse to fruitier language, you'll almost certainly enjoy the latest adult panto offering from the Loony Pants at the Peel Centenary Centre, with no end of double entendres and words with more than three and less than five letters. You have been warned.
Right, here we are then, back down. Where did the time go? Back down at the Peel Centenary Centre. To catch up with everyone's favourite four-letter words. Well, there's always usually plenty of four-letter words here with the, I don't know, so people say it's the dirty pantaloons is what they'll say. But tell us who you are and what you're doing.
Okay, my name's Samantha. I'm directing this year's show, which is Jack and His Long Thick Stalk. So it's the lovely adult's version of Jack and the Beanstalk.
And the group is?
Peel Loony Pants.
Okay, so yeah, as the name might suggest, there could be a little bit of adult humour in this.
Yes, this is definitely only for the over 18s. You do not want to bring your children to this show. We use a lot of bad language. We're not trying to offend anyone, but it is offensive for some people.
Yeah, so it's for the broad-minded.
Yes,
that's yeah. It. So it's the usual thing, no children, and if this isn't your cup of tea, don't come along.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, but if you like the odd F, and yeah, then just it'll be your bag.
Yeah, definitely lots of swearing. You all have been warned.
Give us just a brief then. Is it sort of vaguely based around Jack and the Beanstalk? How does it work?
Yeah, it's the same story as Jack and the Beanstalk. We've still got the giant, we've got the cow, the gold, the beanstalk, everything like that. It's just we swear quite a lot more than you're probably used to in a panto.
And, what sort of cast have you got then? A big cast, small cast?
It's quite a small cast. There's only about 8 of us.
Oh, gosh. That's fairly small then. So all regulars?
All regulars. We think we've got one new person that we've not had before. She's playing off Fairy this year, but everyone else you will have seen on the stage before with us.
Oh, marvellous. And so do people sort of take it in turns to play the various roles?
To a point, we've got a few regulars that we'll see as we've got our dame back that we've had a few years before.
I can guess who that might be.
Yes. So he's with us today. And we've also got Jack, who is the lovely Lisa that will be playing that, and Mark playing our dame testicles.
How did I? Yeah, I just know. He just loves it, doesn't he? He just see it. He can't wait. Are they a good lot to direct, though?
They are. They're all very experienced, which, as I am really not, has been very helpful for me.
All right. First time?
First time.
Oh, gosh. Nerve-wracking?
Horrifying.
So confident?
No.
You will be. You will be. Let's move along the row here. Okay, just introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Lisa, and I'm playing Jack.
All right. So you are the main role.
I am, yes.
And how's it going?
Yeah, it's going really well. Really enjoying it. I've got into character, I think. We've had a few props arrive.
Oh, great. So oh, that sounds good.
I'm getting used to it.
Okay. Are the props suitably suggestive, or are they?
Nope.
No? Oh, all right. I'm almost disappointed.
As the title says, thick stalk. So yeah. With myself, I've had to deal with that.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I don't know. What, the stalk?
Well, yes. Yeah, a bit of both.
Okay, so it's been good fun. I can tell looking around, normally you come down here and yes, people are usually smiling and laughing and whatever, and it is a good laugh.
Yes, it's really good. We all enjoy it. It's time for us adults to have a bit of fun. I think none of us have stopped laughing at the script, and we're so far into it, so that is a really good sign. But yeah, it's just really good, yeah.
And do you get to sing?
Yes, yeah, we do, yeah. I've got a lovely solo and a duet this year, which is good. Nerve-wracking, but good.
Nerve-wracking, but good.
Yes.
That's what we like.
Yeah.
And the gentleman on your right, well, I can guess who you are, yes.
No, oh, it took your time coming to me, didn't you, dear boy? Of course you did, yes. Yes, don't you point that thing at me. Is it loaded? I bet it is. Now then, darling, come on. I am single, ready to mingle. Well, I am Dame Tess Tickles, yes, but you can call me Mark. Mark Britton.
Is it going to be suitably tasteful as ever?
Absolutely. I promise this year I'll keep my clothes on. Oh, did I say that? I'll think it. I don't know.
That'll be a first if you do, really, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, of course, darling. You'd be used to seeing me without my clothes on, wouldn't you? Oh, that's very naughty, isn't it?
So lots of lovely costumes, or lack of costumes?
Well, we'll see, won't we? You'd have to come and see the show to actually find out how glamorous I can be. Yes, absolutely. It'd be wonderful to see everybody here down at the Peel Centenary Centre.
So shows are on the 12th and 13th of April, as well as the 19th and 20th of April.
Okay, and people can book via the Centenary Centre?
Yeah, so it's on the Centenary Centre website online, so tickets are on there. So yeah, get them while you can.
Terrific. And rehearsal, so a couple more weeks rehearsals. Yeah, everyone looking pretty confident. I think so. The smiles, yeah. The cow over there is looking, yeah, very, well, very happy cow. Yeah, happy down there. Result. I better just go and have a quick word, really. So, yeah, quick word down here. You're sitting down there. Just say hello.
Hello. I'm a little bit of an old fairy, and the wings are getting a bit rusty now, but, yeah.
Oh, well, plenty of time yet, then. Plenty of life in the old girl yet.
I hope so.
And last, but by no means least, the cow?
Moo.
Is that your entire script? Moo?
Moo?
Is it easy being a cow or not?
Moo.
Do you get to play the front half and the back half?
Moo.
I'll leave the final word to the dame then. Looking forward to it. Going to be a good show.
Well, of course it is, darling. Do you come here often? I bet you do. Now then, what are you doing after this? Are you going now somewhere to a drinky, are we? Little drinky poos, I bet you are. Oh, come on then. I know you want to. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, I love you. Oh, you're so passionate. Oh, stop it. Get your hand off of that. Oh, leave me alone.
And I don't know where the dame has gone now, but I suspect...
it's behind you.
It is, as they say, all in the best possible taste. Possibly. As ever, don't forget, it is adults only. It's a great laugh if your humour is broad and you're not easily offended. And if that's not you, well, you don't have to go, of course. But please don't go and then complain that you're offended. It is clearly signposted. First performance is the 12th Break a Leg. Just the leg, thank you. 12th and 13th, and then another two performances on the 19th and 20th of April at the Peel Centenary Centre. Book now online. That's about it this week. Don't forget, if you want to hear anything again, go to manxradio.com, download the Spotlight podcast, listen where and when you want. Why not try it while sailing to work one morning on the roads? See you next week. Until then, look after yourselves, and whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Cheerio.